Did we start the show yet? Did it start? No? Oh, you got to put a quarter in it. Yeah, drop the quarter in it. There you go.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
You have to put a quarter in it to make it count.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Thank you very much. Hey, welcome to the program. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Duh. I think you know that. Thanks for being here. You're really very gracious. Sit down now and shut up. I'll talk. Can I get you a finger sandwich? No? All right. Whatever. Just a word to the wise. I like to impart some incredible information every once in a while. If you can ever avoid it, never look in the mirror. It's never a good thing to do. Your impression of yourself is nothing like what you actually look like. Isn't that interesting? Don't you find that, like, you're walking down the street, you know, and you feel like you're looking good. Whoa, oh, the people are looking at me. I'm feeling good today. And then you pass a store window and you look at your reflection and it's, whoa, my God, that's awful. Deflates your ego immediately. Unless you're Trump, then nothing does. Stop moving around so much, you're distracting me. I don't like people moving around so much. It throws me off. I lose my train of thought. Train of thought? What an odd expression that is, huh? What does a train have to do with your thoughts? It's just like, let's compare motion objects to my thinking pattern, shall we? It's my bicycle of thoughts. That doesn't work. My train of thoughts? Yeah, it works a little bit. Not really, though. You know what makes everything equal? When you're looking at somebody and they're talking and you're not listening and you're saying to yourself, boy, what an idiot. Wouldn't it be interesting if they look at you while they're talking and they say to themselves, well, look at this guy, what an idiot. You're both idiots in each other's eyes. That's what makes us all equal. It's not religion. It's not the color of your skin. It's the fact that we're all idiots. That's what makes us all equal. That's equality in this country. We're all a bunch of floundering idiots. No one's smarter than anybody else, Donald. All right, thank you very much. If you ask a young child who wants to be president, and you say to that child, why do you want to be president someday? If the child responds, because I'd love to be above the law for a period of time, then something's wrong. Something didn't work here. I'm not going to talk about him. I could spend the next 17 years talking about this despicable human being who sits in the White House. But I won't, because I don't want to bore you. Let's just agree. Can we at least agree that that's the case? Can we at least do that? Oh, man. I'm still meeting people who follow this Trump guy like he's a god, and everything that he does is so perfectly wonderful and proper. It's just like I don't know how to deal with that. There's nothing to say. I mean, what do you say to something like that? What do you do? How can you even? All right, fine. All right. I don't even want to go there. I mean, this sums it up really well.
Are you aware that one in every seven Americans is in desperate need of a dope slap?
It's more than that.
Studies show that every 17 seconds in America, someone writes, says, or does something so incredibly stupid that they deserve to be slapped, and you can help. If someone you know commits an act of boneheaded stupidity, simply extend your hand with the palm facing to the side, draw your arm back, and deliver a sharp, solid blow straight across their forehead. It's called a dope slap. It only takes a moment to perform, but the lesson can last a lifetime. This has been a message from the American Dope Slap Association and Metro South Podcasting.
It's a real thing. We don't condone violence at all. We don't even know what the word condone means, so let's not even go there. Many states are starting to outlaw vaping, at least temporarily, for two reasons. One is because the e-cigarettes and the vaping. Apparently, it markets toward young children by using flavors, and you can actually advertise vaping on TV, but you can't advertise cigarettes. That makes no sense at all. So I get that part of it. I saw a video recently on that stupid Google machine thing. We all have one in many different forms. And it showed like an X-ray. It showed the insides of a person through an X-ray. And it showed them inhaling smoke from e-cigarettes or vaping or whatever. And it showed how it fills up the lungs and the cavities with smoke. And then it shows the smoke being exhaled out of the body. And it was, to me, that was frightening. More frightening than The Exorcist or any kind of Stephen King movie. Seeing the smoke circulate in the body when you inhale is like, there's no way that can be good. Look, either you put smoke in your body or you don't. You can call it smoking, you can call it vaping, you can call it e-cigarating, whatever. The point is that if you let smoke circulate inside your body, it's probably, now let's go back to our common sense schooling, it's probably not good for your organs or your body cavity. Just a guess. But when you see this video, it's like, ooh, 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 ooh. You know, everybody should try to smoke. I know that's wrong. I know a lot of people are going to say, don't say that. No, everybody should try things. Don't try things like acid and, you know, and horrible drugs and things, because you can get hooked on it if you actually like it. But smoking, everybody who smokes for the first time coughs and regurgitates and just their eyes water for the first time. That's everybody for the first time. Just remember the first time, because every time you inhale, it's a new first time. You know, if you smoke for 1 or 2 years and then you give it up, okay, fine. I hope you enjoyed the ride. But that's not the problem with smoking. It's addictive, whether it be for pleasure or whether it be because the nicotine actually hooks you in a physical manner. No matter how you slice it, you don't want to be doing that for a long period of time. And it's not like people can say like once every like 5 months, oh, I think I'll have a cigarette. Okay, fine. If you can do that, enjoy, I guess. But it's usually not like that. It's usually like a lot or not at all. I don't know why I'm pontificating here. I'm not the Pope. I never wanted to be the Pope, although I think I could be above the law. I mean, Pope's not a bad thing, man. You get your own house. When you want to get some fresh air and you step outside of your second floor window, there are always people standing there cheering you on. That's not bad. As long as they're not cheering you on and say, jump, jump, that wouldn't be good, but that's not what they do. And then when you pass away, they actually send up smoke signals, I guess, for any Indians that may be in the territory. I don't understand that smoke signal thing. I mean, we've got TV and radio and loudspeakers now. I don't think we need to be sending up smoke signals. A little archaic, just my opinion. Any faction that depends on smoke signals to communicate, I would say you might be a little behind the times. I don't know. I never wanted to be Pope, man. I don't particularly care for their automobiles. Look a little bubblish to me, like an AMC Pacer. Not into that kind of thing. You have to walk around with a cane. What is that, a staff or a cane? Or what is that? What is that thing? Everybody who's Pope seems to be like 150 years old. You don't have any young popes. You don't have any like 25-year-old popes walking around. That would be kind of interesting. Hey, man. You don't have them. They're always older men. You'll never see a woman pope because that's just, you know, we can be progressive, but not, let's not be stupid, says that particular religion. Ron, here you go again. You were told back in radio and television. I went to radio and television school at New York University, the Washington Square branch. And I actually have a degree in radio and television. Do you? I do. I have a master's degree in it. What good did that do me? I'm not a doctor. I'm a doctor of television and radio. And what are you going to do? Operate on what? What are you going to operate on? What? What, you professionally know how to change the channels? I mean, like, what are you talking about? Yeah, I know. It's kind of pathetic. Hey, you make your choices when you're younger and you got to stick with them at that point, I suppose. But anyway, what they taught me back then, which was a while ago, they said never discuss religion or your opinions on religion on the open airwaves. There are going to be people that are going to be offended and you're only asking for trouble. Well, now it seems like everybody in the media, their job is to ask for trouble so that you can become recognized, you see. If you say something weird and nasty, then people know who you are. That's the society that we live in. It's pathetic. It really, really is. I'm waiting religiously. I'm waiting for like a mountain to open up, and not in a volcano style. That would be destructive. But some figure comes walking down from a high mountain, floating down, almost like not even walking, just floating down, has one of those cane staff things in their hands, dressed in a white robe, comes down to the bottom and says, enough of this shit. Let's start being a planet and being nice to each other. And then goes back up to the mountain and all of a sudden everything's great. That's what I want to happen. Now, it's not going to happen. I'm realistic enough to know that. But at the same time, one can hope and dream, can't they? Instead, you get the Antichrist getting into the White House somehow, who's screwing up everything. I mean, things weren't perfect, but they weren't falling apart like they are now. This is like the opposite of what the guy said. He can fix anything. He's the smartest man in the world. He actually said this in a speech, and I'll never forget it. He was on the podium, and he was talking about him being president, and he says, I'm never going to tweet again. It's not presidential. And he said, I'm the smartest man you'll ever meet. I know how to fix everything. I know how to give speeches. I use the very best words. Right then and there, I knew we were on our way to the depths of hell on a high-speed elevator. Unbelievable. But again, I'm not here for that. I do want to be Pope. I really do. I don't want to be president. I want to be Pope. There's no attorney general in a popedom. There's no Congress. You're ineffective in a sense. And on the other hand, everybody loves you no matter what religion they are. And you kind of, you kind of lead the cult. So it's not a bad job. I don't know what the pay is. I don't think you have to wake up in the morning and say to yourself, I wonder what I'm going to wear today. I mean, there's a lot of benefits to it. You have people taking care of you, people who bathe you. It's really not a bad thing. You get a nice apartment. I think you can eat anything you want. If you have any questions or trouble in being Pope, all you do is get on the phone and talk to God. I mean, that doesn't sound like it's a horrible job. You get job security until you don't want to do it anymore, until you die. I mean, it's not a bad deal. What you are is only four letters long, P-O-P-E. I mean, who can't remember that? What do you do for a living? I'm the Pope. Oh, okay. I mean, there's nothing else to talk about. You don't have to say, well, what do you do? Tell me about your job. What do you do all day? What time do you get up? You don't have to do any of that stuff. It's just, you're the Pope. No. What do you want to talk about? What do you want me to do? And people actually bow in front of you. They genuflect, whatever the fuck that is. They kiss your freaking ring, man. They kiss your ring. Look, who doesn't want their ring kissed? They bow before you. I mean, whoa. What a head trip that must be. What a cool job. You don't even have to apply for the job on Indeed. They just pretty much pick you. They pick you out. They pick you out from your headshots. Not bad. I think you have to perform a couple of really strange deeds to become a saint, though. I think becoming a saint, you have to perform tasks and things. I think there's an essay question test. You have to turn water into wine. If I could turn water into wine, I wouldn't bother being a saint. I'd open up a winery, man. I mean, think of the overhead. It's nil. It's just water. And you turn it into wine simply by willing it. Think of the money you could save on machinery. I got this all figured out. I got this one. Don't worry about it. I got this one. Turning water into wine. I would have stopped there. I think Jesus was a carpenter. I'm not familiar with any of his work. You don't go into anybody's home and look at their cabinets and say, oh, those are nice cabinets. Yeah, it's a Jesus. It's an original Jesus. How'd you get that? Oh, it's been passed on through the family. You know, it's pretty cool. Pretty cool. Wow. You know, it's not very sturdy and it's missing knobs. I know. I mean, it's got a great name to it, but as a cabinet goes, not really nice. Not too good. Not very efficient. You can't utilize it really well. The draw stick, it's not a great job. I don't know. I mean, if you're Jesus and you're a carpenter, you figure, well, doing all right. I'm doing all right. I don't know. Ron, again, when you went to school, they told you don't talk about religion. Don't make fun of it, certainly. Don't make jokes about it. They're not even funny. They're observational, granted, but they're not funny. Hey, come on. We're all friends here. We know what's going on. I have the greatest respect for everything that I talk about. It's just an entertainment thing. It's just to take your eyes off the real problems of the world. It's like flashing a shiny object in front of your face. It works. Who's kidding whom? All right. My guest is going to join me now. We're not going to be talking about religion so much as we are about health, but not in that corny way. He's written a very interesting book, actually. When we talk about healthcare, we're talking about all the wrong stuff. So we'll talk to him. He's not a bad guy, and we'll see what he comes up with. So I'm going to promote myself for just a second. The announcer is going to say some very odd things about me that involve a ferret, and then we'll have our interview.
As a special surprise, thank you. Everyone listening to the Ron Van Dam Show today will receive a free photograph of Ron holding a ferret. Yeah, we don't know why he's holding a ferret either. But he's the boss. So there's the ferret. This is the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Hi, Dan. How are you?
I'm great. How are you today?
Fantastic. Dan Polino joins us now. He's got a book out called Trusted Healers. It's about healthcare viewed from a different angle. Thanks for being with us today, first of all.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure. Now, Trusted Healers, this to me looks like we've been looking at healthcare from a different perspective. We're kind of missing the point of it. And this is on a global platform, am I correct?
You're right, exactly.
What are we missing? We talk about healthcare, the various political parties poo-poo each other and fight about it while we're just standing here without it from many perspectives. Healthcare is defined differently throughout the world. What are we all missing as far as that's concerned?
Well, first of all, a lot of the debate today is about how you pay for care, uh-huh. not necessarily about how you deliver care.
Right.
Second, the challenge that we have in the United States is we deliver very, very well sick care. When people get sick, we spend a lot of money.
Yes.
We're spend more than anybody else, and we're ranked 37th in the world in how we do with the health of our people, and that suggests that we might have this not quite in the right order. So we went around the world, studied the best delivering healthcare systems, mm-hmm. independent and regardless of how it was paid for, and said, what do those look like? And what we found out is that more of the money spent by these countries is on the front end, on well care, of focusing on population health, on focused on primary care, mm-hmm. first dollar into primary care. And so with that, Dr. Grundy proclaims the most important thing that you can do with your care mm-hmm. is to get into a medical home, to have a relationship with a primary care doctor and a team of care, a continuum of care.
Okay.
And then when we talk to people like Dr. Mike Roizen, they say the most important thing after access, let's focus on your blood pressure, your mm-hmm. cholesterol, your glucose levels, your weight, the stress in your life, any addictions like nicotine. And let's be sure that you're up to date on your vaccines, including your flu shots.
Yeah.
And please have a trusted healer, a primary care doctor that you know you can call that can help you.
Yeah, that's a problem because, I mean, typically I would love to sit down with a group of five physicians and pick the one that I find to be the most efficient, bedside manner. I would grade them accordingly. But unfortunately, I get assigned to people for some reason.
Well, there's a couple of thoughts here. One, you can ask them if they are a certified patient-centered medical home,
uh-huh.
and they will know what that is.
Oh.
In the book, we offer 10 questions to ask your primary care physician to identify whether or not their practice patterns are that of a medical home.
Uh-huh.
So we try and take that mystery out of what is a medical home. We define it, and then we actually give you questions. And, mm-hmm. and I found people that have read the book tear that page out of the questions, put it in their file folder. When they go see their doctor, they're mm-hmm. asking these questions.
Yes.
And I'm thrilled about that. Health literacy is something that we all can do a better job with.
I do know that various medical groups are leaning toward that, to the point where they even suggest to call you once a month and just say, how are you doing? Is there anything you want to talk about? Which I think is fantastic. It's a little stalky, but it's fantastic. I'm more concerned about how healthcare seems to equal prescriptions. We don't seem to look at that end of it in our system. We will pay anything and we'll take anything, but we don't look at the whole picture at all.
Well, we do have an issue here because we all have more information at our hands that we all fall into the trap of potentially self-diagnosing, self-prescribing, and self-medicating. And that becomes a significant problem for us. Mm-hmm. If we had a physician on the call, they'd say, boy, I can't tell you how many people show up with a file folder of what they've searched on Google and brought forward what they think the treatment plan should be for you.
Yeah.
So this is why we need to be in a that are appropriate.
Yeah.
And actually, Modern Health just came out with a study that said over 70% of the CEOs in health systems are moving towards a patient-centered concept.
Yeah, they are,
Some of them are actually calling it a person-centered. It's the same concept of being able to be that trusted healer and being with you on the life journey that you're on.
Yeah.
Yep.
So things seem to be pointing in that direction. But I guess what your book is doing is you're giving us the power to acknowledge that what comes first and what comes second, and to be the master of your own healthcare system in the sense of taking care of yourself and getting advice as to how to avoid getting sick as opposed to reacting to getting sick.
Well, you're exactly right. And if someone walked away and said, what did they just talk about?
Yeah.
Other than go see your primary care physician, we're talking about access.
Yeah.
We're talking about wellness, and we're talking about empowerment. And you just said it extremely well.
Yeah. And I guess in this country, we just get tied up with politics where it doesn't seem to matter what we're talking about. It's just we don't want the other people to win. And I feel like a pawn in many senses of the word in that category.
You know, it's so interesting that you bring that up, and I write about it in the book because I went back and I studied societal change.
Mm-hmm.
And within societal change, every society has a rhythm to its culture. For instance, the first railroad was the B&O Railroad on the East Coast. Mm-hmm. 40 years later, we put the Golden Spike in the ground that literally transformed the country. In 1928, there was a movie called Wings that was widely acclaimed, first award for travel, for air travel. 40 years later, we actually put a man on the moon.
Yeah.
Same time period of 40 years, Martin Luther King is assassinated. 40 years later, we elect Barack Obama as a president.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible actually references 146 times in the Bible. There is something to a culture, to a rhythm of time. And then, of course, Medicare and Medicaid was introduced to the country in 1965 by Lyndon Baines Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why these arguments that go far right or far left, when you think about the culture and the rhythm of our culture, we're really not interested in a rip and replace. And it's going to be very difficult to get the support for a Medicare for all.
Right.
What people are looking for is, can you build upon what has been in our society and make it better for me as an individual?
Correct.
And I believe that we have people that do, for political reasons, maybe run right or run left. I think we have tremendous support for right versus privilege. There are many ways to pay for health care. There's really three systems that we have in the United States, from insurance. We do have government-driven care under Medicare and Medicaid, and then we have the VA, which is own systems, government paid for and government delivered. So, and we have a fourth one, which is you go alone. So for anyone to come forward into our culture and suggest there's one system that is the best across those three probably isn't paying attention to that rhythm that I talk about. And I give people examples through cigarette smoking, alcohol abuse, these other things that have changed in society. And it's all about to prove a point. There's a rhythm to our culture. And you have to understand that. And if you do, then we can make these changes, as opposed to having this noise that's too far right or too far left.
Exactly. Yeah, right now, as far as the downbeat is concerned, we're kind of down. We ain't upbeat right now. Yeah.
No, we're not, but we can be, and that's why I wrote the book. It's an aspirational book of bringing the best ideas to people in healthcare. Maybe this idea, too, around societal change, where I give us the idea of patience. Uh-huh. Yes, we have to change, but there's a rhythm in the culture, and how do I go forward? And then at the back of the book, we actually give you a primer. We give you questions to go ask your doctors and ways that you can start thinking about your own healthcare.
Well, we could talk for hours, and then there's the book. So it's called Trusted Healers, Dan Pollino, and pick it up. It does empower you to focus on what it is as opposed to all the noise around it. It's fascinating, and thanks for writing that particular book. Where can we get more information about it?
Thanks. Well, first of all, you can buy it in Amazon, and Amazon has it as the number one new release in health policy globally, which mm-hmm. is exciting. But Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Target, other places that you buy your books. We have a website, www.trustedhealers.com.
There you go.
And if you'd like to follow me and the other things that I do, I have our company site that I founded called Everyone Matters, and you can follow me on everyonematters.online.com. So
there's everything you need to know.
Hope people will come join me. Thank you very much.
Good talking to you. Thank you, Dan. Bye-bye.
Yeah, good health to you.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye. Interesting. You have again been just adorable. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. Click on me anywhere. You'll find this program on iHeartRadio, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Radio Public, YouTube, Podbean Network, SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Player FM, and Podbay. We're all over the damn place. If you can't find me, then you're not looking enough. Have a wonderful day. I wish you peace.